Today is Sunday. It's May 30th, 2021. This is part 14 of a Grand Canyon oral history interview with Jim Haggart, last name spelled H-A-G-G-A-R-T. My name is Tom Martin. Good afternoon, Jim. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. Glad to hear you're doing well. Jim, may we have your permission to record this oral history over the telephone?
Yes, of course.
Thank you so very much. We ended up part 13 in, I think we went through the spring of 1998, an Olo Canyon trip down to the river. We left this off with another Esplanade hike, I think around the Powell Plateau in October of 1998. Can you pick that thread up?
Yeah, sure. That's a great introduction, and you know, as we've talked about in the past couple of visits here, oral visits, Art Christensen in particular, and also Bruce Grubb and myself had particularly gotten interested in the Esplanade, and you know, we directed a lot of our hiking time to the Esplanade around Great Thumb Mesa. And had done a fairly significant amount of that walking, and of course also the exploration of the various terraces and mesas that are out overlooking the river west of Great Thumb. So, you know, one of the things that had always been a real objective of mine since I did that long solo hike in the early 70s, 73, was to go around Powell Plateau at river level and also to circumnavigate it at the Esplanade level. And
cool.
So after having done these hikes out on Great Thumb area, it seemed like a logical extension to now tackle the Esplanade around Powell Plateau.
Okay.
And, of course, we knew from our explorations out on Great Thumb that you could go long distances out there if you had the water pockets, if you had the, you know, if you picked the right time of the year to go when you knew that water would be plentiful in these pockets. And so, you know, I live in Vancouver, have for 25, 30 years now. So I'm really dependent on my friends in Arizona to watch the local weather to see when the storms are coming through and what kind of rain is being dumped where, et cetera, right?
Right.
So Bruce and Art are very skilled at following the local weather and getting the details of precipitation as widely as possible and in this area. And it's scarce. I mean, you know, there aren't rainfall indicators at every place on every side canyon on the Esplanade, but you can get a general idea. And so these guys would watch the weather, and when a window looked good, you know, that would be then the signal that we could do one of these Esplanade trips. And so in 98, we started thinking, let's go do a circumnavigation of Powell. So we figured we could go into Swamp Point in the fall. So this was in October. And in the fall, and then rather than walk down the east side of Powell on the Esplanade, which is full of manzanita, and which Harvey Butchert had expressly warned me against doing in previous correspondence, we decided to go up on the Powell and then walk down to Dutton Point and go off the plateau there and then start, you know, heading south and west to go around the plateau.
Okay.
And we figured that, you know, that the guys thought that there had been sufficient rainfall in northern Arizona that we would expect to find, you know, water, sufficient water to meet our needs. So, yeah, we drove up there and I remember we camped in from the rim, about an eighth of a mile, I think, in from the rim and just had a gorgeous night there. And, you know, there's sometimes, well, it's pretty frequent when I'm down in the canyon and I look up at the sky at night and it's just phenomenal to see the stars that are arrayed up there, because I live in a big urban city in Vancouver, and also there's a lot of cloud cover here typically. So When the sky is clear, we still have too much ambient light to see much of that sky. So, yeah, it's tremendous to see that northern Arizona night sky. And I remember very distinctly, that we had such great sightings on this trip. So, in the morning we got up and started down from down from Swamp Point, went down to the saddle and up on Powell Plateau. And I had been through there like 24 years prior, I guess, and gone up on Powell Plateau and spent a day or two up there when I was doing that long through hike.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this really distinct memory of Powell. I find Powell is, for me, it's a truly unique place because I don't know what it is, whether it's the spacing of the ponderosas or the lack of pinyon juniper in the northern end of the plateau. It's very prominent down at the southern end. But for whatever reason, you get just, I get a totally unique experience when I'm up on that end of Powell Plateau. It's just, it's just magical. And I remember going up with Bruce and Art and feeling that same experience that I had, encountered when I was there 24 years before on that solo trip. And it was just like, it's just such a magical experience it just brings the hair up on my neck thinking about it, but that's the way it was up there. Just gorgeous, peaceful. We encountered some pretty big ruins up there. And I didn't realize at the time that there were significant ruins on Powell Plateau. And we're talking, like tens to several tens of rooms in some of these structures. So they were pretty neat to see, and it just reinforced that we're visitors up here, but there's been plenty of people before us that have called this place home.
That
knowledge combined with the remoteness and the beauty and the idyllic nature of the whole place is just really serves to make Powell Plateau stand out in my mind as one of the premier places that I've experienced in the canyon. So,
nice.
Anyways, we wanted to go down to Dutton Point. So we followed, there's a trail that goes down the east side. It kind of peters out as you go farther and farther south. I think part of the trail is maintained by firefighters.
Hmm.
And in fact, there's a couple of stashes of firefighting equipment up there in aluminum boxes. But, we went down, followed the east side of the plateau, went down to Dutton Point, and got spectacular views there of the Shinumo Basin, right, looking, dropping right below you.
Mm-hmm.
And then we left the point, and this would be in the mid-afternoon, and we found there's a route that goes down west of Dutton Point, about a kilometer or something like that. And it's pretty straightforward, but we were able to find water there. Fortunately, a seep, and this was good omen, right? Because we knew we were going to be needing water, and I had carried 2 gallons, leaving the car. I had 2 gallons, and that was not enough to get us all around Powell.
Right.
It was not going to be enough.
Right.
So we needed to count on finding water along the route, and so finding this spring down below Dutton was pretty nice because it was our first indication that maybe things were on track and gonna work out for us. So we filled up our spare capacity at that point, and then got down to the Esplanade level and started hiking. And it was pretty easy going, I remember, because by this point you're starting to Powell Plateau, of course, dips to the southwest. The strait had dipped to the southwest. So as you walk from the north end to Powell to the south end, you drop in elevation considerably, and the vegetation changes. So by the time we were down on the Esplanade level there, basically hiking along above Waltenburg Canyon, it was pretty easy going. It's definitely side hiking, and you have to be careful because it's very easy to throw an ankle or something or slip, But basically, not difficult to hike around. So we, made steady time all the way down the length of Powell. Well, of course, we did camp above Waltenburg there, about half a mile, I guess, southwest of where the drainage comes up through the red wall. So that's as far as we got on our first day.
Okay.
And we continued down the next day and got down to Wheeler Point. And at this point, we decided we were going to split up for the rest of the day. And Art and I wanted to go down to Marcus Terrace.
Okay.
and try and get up Explorer's Monument.
Yes.
And Bruce just wanted to look for water, and he's more practical than we are. And so he was going to just spend the afternoon walking around
nice. In
the Blacktail Canyon area looking for water. And so yeah, Art and I dropped our packs, took a little bit of water with us, and then started bolting south down the terraces there, the Supai.
Mm.
And just, you know, it's fabulous walking. Now, every once in a while you get to a drop and you have to scout around, and there'll be a bypass. You find your way down, and then in some places you have to climb back up. You know, all the while the topography is dropping, but there are ups and downs along the route, right? And eventually, late in the afternoon, we got down to the end of Marcos Terrace there, and we could see Explorers, and figured it was in the bag. And it's actually a fairly easy climb, but I do remember that, you know, you're going up the chimney there, and I just got myself into a wide stretch, and I felt something kind of tear in my abdomen. And it was a little disconcerting because, you know, it's a pretty remote area. And when you feel something like that happen, you, you know, you question what's going to happen, right? Mm. And how you're going to respond. But, you know, I just kind of relaxed and took a deep breath, and it didn't seem like a problem. And so we finished the climb up to the top of the monument. And, you know, you get great views down into Elves from there. I think we've talked about that before.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's right. And also I wanted to ask you about views about halfway out the Marcos Terrace. Did you get a view off, gosh, what would it be, to the west, I suppose, out toward Blacktail and Forster, out toward the Great Thumb?
Yeah.
Can you describe that view a little bit?
Well, yeah, I can. I mean, It's actually kind of the same, a very similar view to what you get on each of these terraces going to the west around Powell. Devaca, Tobar, El Arcon. It's just, you know, a tremendous view of the south rim of the canyon. Of course, it's the east side of Great Thumb Mesa, and is the dominant cliff face, I guess you're looking at.
Right.
And, but of course you can look down, as you're looking across to the west, you look down onto Conquistador Isle and the river way down below in Forster. Mm-hmm. And you can see it, you know, making the big bend around Fossil. I mean, it's really a spectacular area. And, you know, and of course you, on the other side, you turn to the, you know, you turn 180 degrees and you're looking upriver.
Right.
And you're looking up, you know, the gorge past Hakatai and Waltenburg and over towards Bath. I mean, it's really a stupendous view.
Hmm.
And, you know, they say that Dutton Point is one of the best viewpoints. I mean, there's many, of course, but Dutton is a big one. But I have to say, I mean, this you know, now that you remind me, this spine on Marcos Terrace is extraordinary because you're right down there at low in the Esplanade, and you have these tremendous views overlooking the river, both upstream and downstream.
Hmm.
And, yeah, it's just, and, you know, we found mezcal pits all over this place.
Oh, wow.
All over the place. And indicating that there, you know, at one point there was more water than there is today, for sure. So, you know, it's a tremendous place to go hiking. I can't emphasize it enough, and in many respects I'm very happy that it kind of was terra incognita to the hiking community for so long. And maybe it still is on a certain level, but certainly more and more people must be hiking in these areas, and you know, and the reality is that if you pay attention to the water, situation, you know. And if you travel light and you know your capabilities as a hiker and you know how to navigate in the canyon, this hiking is just, it's so fun and straightforward, you know. It's not the death-defying journeys that some people would make it out to be, you know. And again, I guess when I was younger, I was happy for everybody, other people to think that, you know, about hiking, because that meant we wouldn't encounter anybody in our in our hikes. So, anyways, that's just an aside.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Cool.
But so we did get up Explorer's Monument, but one of the kind of disconcerting things is we didn't find any water, you know. So I remember we were quite a ways out there. It's like 3 miles or something like that from Wheeler Point, and we had a fairly long hike to get back and by dark, but we did make it. And Bruce, we found Bruce, you know, and he hadn't found water either in his walking around into Blacktail. So at this point, we're a little nervous because, you know, we still had 2/3 of the distance to go around Powell, right? And with no guarantee that there was going to be any water to be had. And you know, as you know from our previous discussions, Art and I like to take these side hikes, you know, where we drop our pack and we go out on the terraces and go as far, explore them as much as we can, and, you know, look, go down to the river overlooks and look for granaries and just have a lot of fun. So we wanted to be able to do that aspect of the hike as well, you know, not just to put a line around Powell Plateau, but to do an exploration of the adjacent areas. So we decided, since the water was not abundant, that the best thing to do was to reverse our steps and try it another time, right? I can't remember if it was disappointing or not. I'm sure there was a certain amount of disappointment, but, you know, in the Grand Canyon, you always can turn lemons into lemonade, right? And so what we decided to do was to go back to Dutton Point, and then we decided to go up and go into the Steamboat Mountain area and drop off Powell there and see about, you know, climbing Steamboat Mountain. The next day, you know, we packed up and reversed our route up along the southeast side of Powell, along Walthenburg, and then back up to our seep, you know, that was west of Dutton Point. We were able to refill there as much as we needed. And then we went up onto the plateau, and we decided first thing to go back to Dutton Point and then walk over to King Crest, which is a Coconino butte that sticks up off the Esplanade between Walthenburg and Hockatay.
Okay.
It's like a point at the end of an extended ridge.
Okay.
It's an easy walk, and the climb is pretty straightforward. I mean, there's, you know, chimneys and ups and downs that you got to deal with, a couple of blind corners and whatnot, but it's always straightforward, and, you know, it's all third class. And I remember I found like a 4-inch arrowhead point out on the saddle going out to the crest. And, you know, at that point I was very much influenced by Art, and I put it back down in the dirt and I covered it up with sand, you know, with the dirt there, and so that wouldn't be an obvious score for somebody else. And then we went on our way, you know, but that was certainly the best arrowhead I'd ever found in my life.
Wow.
And it was pretty pleasing to see that, you know. So we went out and we did King Crest, and there was the three of us, and then back up to Dutton Point, and then reversed our route up the east side of the plateau there, and then wound up camping on the very north end of the plateau, where the ponderosas are the highest, the thickest, I guess, and that night, and again another great night, except that it was starting to clear cloud over. I remember we were camped there, and just at dark, two hikers came hiking up to us. And they had been down, I guess they had gone down the southwest end of Powell, down around Ives Point and Beale Point.
Okay.
And so they had basically done an extended exploration of the plateau itself and were coming back and, had just happened to run into us and at that time. So it was kind of funny. Here I am talking about how it's, you plan your hikes and you always hope you're not going to see anybody, and then you wind up running into people, right, in the most amazing places. But
do you remember their names?
I don't remember their names. Okay. No, it's just a couple, two guys. And anyways, I remember that they camped nearby us because it was late. So the next morning, we got up, and Art and I had decided we were going to try Steamboat.
Okay.
And Bruce wanted to just sit on the plateau and relax and write, and I think he gets his radio out. We've talked about his radio before, and tries to communicate with people all around the world. So,
nice.
Bruce, Art and I headed to the northwest, and found a very complicated route. Again, we knew this went because this was a butchered route that we'd heard about. Of course, you never know with Harvey; you never know the details, and that's the beauty of Harvey's guidebooks. Mm. And is that there's just enough information given that you know you can do it if you persevere, but you've got to dig deep many times to actually find the key, right? It was another great scramble, down through the Kaibab and Coconino, and then just a straightforward walk on the Esplanade over to Steamboat.
Right.
And I thought this was a pretty neat area because I had hiked through here in 73, and I had hiked on the Esplanade on the north side of Tapete's Creek and over towards Saddle Canyon and up to Moab's Saddle. So I had looked across at Steamboat and this area of the Esplanade on that long hike, and just kind of imagine what it would be like to be out in that area.
Yeah.
And then, here I was 25 years later with Art, and we're actually moving about on it, And so we managed to get up Steamboat, and we didn't hike all around the top because we didn't figure we had enough time to get back to the camp, right? But we did get on top and got enough of a view to satisfy ourselves. And then reverse the route back to the camp with Bruce on the rim. So at that night, then we put up our tarps because we were kind of nervous about the way it was clouding over, and we got this dump. It was, I guess, about 6-7 inches, something like that, of snow.
Oh wow!
But just enough that I remember. All night long, every 10 minutes, I'd have to wake up and make sure that the snow was not accumulating on the fly, right? Mm. And I think we each had our own individual flies at that point. Art and I have subsequently, when we go on hikes together, we typically just bring one and share it when we need it. Most of the time, you don't even use the fly. But but this time, we each had our individual flies, and I just remember having to swap my fly all night long to keep the snow from, crushing it. So, and then of course we got up in the morning and it's just, I guess you know what it's like to be hiking in places like that with a fresh snow. I mean, it's just again, another unusual experience, and it's just dead silent, right? That's the thing that's most, significant, I think, is the dead silence, because, there wasn't any wind. The storm had passed through and it dropped its precipitation. Anyways, we had to an easy walk, but wet one back to the car from that camp. So it was a great ending to a trip that again had to make lemonade from lemons. But we knew that. I think we knew that Powell was ours if we just waited for the right time,
Okay.
And waited for the water to be there, it would work out.
Yeah.
So it was just, fortunately, in 98, I was only 44 years old. So, I had a lot more time left.
Yeah.
Nowadays, I look at these things I want to do, and it's like, oh, I don't have nearly that much time anymore, you know? It's always kind of disappointing to have to turn back on something, and because you wonder, am I really going to ever have another opportunity to get back here? So,
yeah,
it. But at that point, you know, I still had many, many good years ahead of me, and so we were always fine with putting things off for the future. So,
right.
Yeah, so that was a, another great hike, about a week long, I guess, and yeah, and so at that point, oh, you know what I found out? I was doing some researching here on the internet, and I found out that there's a terrace on the west side of Powell Plateau, between Bedrock and Galloway.
Yes.
That actually is named. If you look at the 62,500 scale topographic maps, it's just one of these terraces that doesn't have a name, right? But it's actually called Feroz, F-E-R-O-Z, Terrace. So I've got a little post-it note here on my map, showing me that that thing has a name there. I just was wondering if you might have ever heard of that.
I haven't, and I'm like, well, where's my Nancy Bryan Place Names of Grand Canyon book?
Yeah, it's not in there.
It is not. Oh, my, that's interesting.
No, I just, I forget where I found, how I found this. It was a few weeks ago, but, yeah, I was just, anyways, there it was. The coordinates are given right there, but it's never showed up on the map, so.
I mean, that's the sort of thing I bet is fairly infrequently visited even today.
A terrace like that?
Yeah. Between Galloway and Stone, again, you know, you have to drop off the north side of Powell Plateau heading toward Steamboat Mountain and then walk out there. So it's just interesting country out there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that actual terrace, I mean, we did get out there in a subsequent trip. We'll talk about that, later, but... and it does have, I mean, Art and I went there, and the views from at the end of that terrace, when you're looking down on Dubendorf and Bedrock Rapids, you know, the views down are just stupendous,
you know.
It's really, really something. So that's a fabulous place to get to. Oh, my God. It's like a fire alarm. We may have to postpone this here.
Yeah. See what you got.
Hey, Tom?
Yep.
Yeah, I probably should wrap this up now because I don't know what's going on.
We'll talk later.
I'm the president of the building.
Yeah. Okay.
Next week, same time?
Yep. We'll do it then.
Okay.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And that will conclude part 14 of A Grand Canyon Oral History with Jim Haggart, H-A-G-G-A-R-T. Today is Sunday, May 30th, 2021. My name is Tom Martin.